All right. The elementary did a great job last night singing for us, the choir. What a blessing. Amen. We had good services already. So again, we want to continue today. Brother Jeremiah Hershberger is going to be speaking to you. He spoke last night, did a great job. And so we're looking forward to that. How many of you have your Bibles? Let me see them. Bring your Bibles to chapel. We're going to use them today. I want you to turn your ears on when you open your Bible. All right. Brother, preach to us.
All right, take your Bibles to Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 16. And I like to move around, so I'm going to take this off this. Acts chapter 16, and I want to start by giving a little testimony of my life. And I grew up in a Christian school, went to Christian school 12 out of 13 years, and my brother and I loved to play basketball. And we, I guess, in a sense, we almost idolized basketball a little bit too much. I got to college, played one semester, and then had knee problems and was going to have an operation. And the surgeon told me, said, you either stop playing right now or I'm going to be operating on you. And I decided to stop playing basketball at that point. But I'll never forget sitting there, and so much of my high school years and all that, I was all into basketball. I'll never forget sitting there my freshman year in college and realizing I had to stop that. And I was really sitting there pouting about some things. And you know, do you guys ever pout about things, pout about your lunch, or pout about mom and dad making you do something? And I was sitting there, and I looked up, and in the building I was in, there was the verse, Acts 20:24. It says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself. And I realized that day that it wasn't about me. It wasn't about what I could do, that God had a job for me to do, because the verse goes on and talks about taking the gospel and having a ministry to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, I'd like to look into Acts chapter 16. I'm going to give a little more of my personal testimony in a moment. But Acts chapter 16, let's look in verse number 1. It says, then came he, that's talking about Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now, so this morning we're going to look at three people super fast. So make sure you stay with me. We're going to look at three people in this chapter and see what God did through their lives, see who they were. The first this morning is Timotheus. Now, he did not come from a good home. I'm thankful for the home that I grew up in. My father was a pastor, a principal of a Christian school. My mother was a Christian school teacher. I did something very dumb in third grade. My mom was my teacher. My dad was the principal. And that was the year I decided to cheat on my spelling test. That was not wise. And my best friend ratted me out. He was my best friend up until that point. He ratted me out and told on me. And you can imagine what happened to me after all that. All right, not a good decision. But I grew up in a good home. Now, you can even have a good home and things don't turn out the way you think your home will be. Because my freshman year in Bible college, even though my dad was a pastor, my mom was pastor's wife, my parents divorced. My mom attempted suicide multiple times. Things can change. You may think you've got a good home, or you may think you've got a bad home, but things can change very fast, and all of a sudden your life will be, you're going to wonder what's going on in my life. Now, I know there's kids all ages in here, and I won't go into details, but I'm just telling you, you may go through some hard things. You may go through some very hard things in your life, and I'll never forget at that point in my life saying, is this all real? I mean, I went to Christian school. I heard all the teaching and all the preaching. I memorized the verses, but there came a point in my life where it was like, is this all real? Is following God real? But I had seen God work in my life. I had seen my mother pray for people. I had seen her lead people to Christ and spend time with them and disciple them and show them Jesus Christ and her compassion for others. I had seen my father and his love for people and preaching the gospel, and I saw that it was real. I knew it was real. Even though they made mistakes, even though they had problems, the faith that they had tried to pass on to me, I knew it was real. And I encourage every person in here, it doesn't matter your home situation, you need to know that what you have in your hand is true. You need to dig in. You need to learn of the God of the Bible. Don't just know about him. You're going to hear about him. Please look up at me. You're going to hear about this God of the Bible. You're going to hear about taking the gospel to the world. We're talking about missions, taking the gospel to the world. But what about for you? Is this God of the Bible real for you? Or is he just, oh, we talk about him at school? Have you let him be your personal Lord and Savior? See, Timotheus, he actually came from kind of a rough home. From what we can tell, his mother was a Jewish. She was a Jew. His father was a Greek. He would be looked at as a half-breed, especially in that time. You think people are prejudiced today. At that time, people were extremely prejudiced. And so here's this young man. He grew up maybe in a little bit rougher home. His father, from what we can tell, was not saved. His mother was saved. His grandmother was saved. And there's something about Timothy we see here. Look at verse number 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. I have a message on Timothy called How Do You Become a Missionary? This is how. Timothy was well reported of by two different churches, people in two different places, Lystra and Iconium. He was just serving. He was just being a testimony. He was being a witness. The Bible tells us that even a child is known by his doings. Young people, your example that you're setting right now is important. It will carry on. What kind of testimony do you have? So first we see Timothy. He was a young disciple, and he decided to sacrifice everything. Here is Paul saying, hey, come with me. I want to take you. We're going to go preach the gospel. We're going to go tell other people about Jesus. Now, there's something that you might not realize about Timothy and where he was at in Lystra. In Lystra was where Paul was stoned and drug out. So Timothy, even if he didn't see it, he heard about it, that Paul, the preacher of the gospel, they stoned him. They thought he was dead, and they drug him out of the city. Now God raised him up. But just think about this for a second. Here comes the man that was stoned basically to death in your hometown. And then he says, hey, Timothy, why don't you come with me and let's go preach the gospel to all the other cities so that we can get stoned and beaten and thrown in prison for the gospel's sake? That sounds like a great idea. See, Timothy, there was no sugarcoating what it meant to be a disciple to Timothy. He knew the cost. He knew the cost, and he was willing to pay the cost to take the gospel to the world. Are you willing to pay the cost? If we're not willing to just go against the crowd in our class, I've been in Christian school. I know what it's like. If you're going to truly follow the Lord, you're going to have somebody laugh at you. You're going to have somebody mock at you. If you're going to truly do what's right, talk right, act right, and I'm not saying to do those things just to make your teacher happy. It's between you and God. You need to do what's right because you love God. But if you're going to truly follow the Lord, you're going to be different. You're probably going to be mocked. You're probably going to be mocked. You say, in a Christian school? Yeah, in a Christian school. I was there. I know. But if you love the Lord, you're going to be willing to make the sacrifice. And Timothy was willing to make the sacrifice to follow God, to do what was right, to take the gospel to the world. Then if you'll look with me in verse number 14, I'll mention her for just a second. It says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, Lydia was a lady. She was seeking for God, but she didn't know the true God. But then Paul and Timothy and others showed her this is the way to have eternal life, by trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And she trusted Christ. And then she said, hey, everything I have, I want to use for the gospel. You come into my house so that you... Now, she said, you come into my house, but she's actually talking to at least four grown men. Four grown men eat a lot. I eat a lot. My kids eat a lot, and they're not grown. So she's telling these four men, come into my house if you've judged me to be faithful, and I want to take care of your needs so that you can preach the gospel to more people. You know what we see in Lydia? We see that she was sacrificial in her giving. She was faithful. Whatever God gave her, she then used for the Lord. Young people, God's going to give you different abilities. He's going to give you different talents. He's going to give you different things. You'll have the choice to use it for yourself or use it for others. Use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have that choice. I've learned to do all kinds of things. I design websites. I build things. I remodel things. There's lots of different abilities that God's given me. I would say I'm not great at any of them, but God's going to give you all different abilities. You'll have the choice to use it all on yourself so that you can have the biggest car, the biggest house, the fanciest thing. I hate to tell you this, but those things in 30 years are going to be junk. That car that you're going to idolize, especially you guys, you know, with the big shiny wheels. And in Arkansas, we would have the jacked up truck. But all those things in 30 years, that truck's going to basically be falling apart. It's going to be rusted out. It's not going to last. See, Lydia was a seller of purple. She was actually pretty well off. But she says, I'm going to use what I have for God so that others can hear the gospel. How about you today? You may already, especially you older ones, you may already be working a job. How much are you giving to the Lord? And I'm not saying that to guilt you, but the Bible says that we can lay up treasure in heaven. How much treasure are you laying up in heaven? How much are you seeking the Lord? How much do you want to do for God? You can live for yourself. That's what everybody's doing. Everybody around us is basically living for themselves. Who's going to stand out for God and say, I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, many times that comes with mockery, just like we talked about with Timothy. Many times that comes with some kind of pain. That's going to happen. It's a sacrifice to serve the Lord, but it's a wonderful sacrifice. It's a wonderful sacrifice. Now, if you would look with me, I want to look at the third person, and third person's kind of a strange third person to look at. So we've seen Timothy, who is willing to sacrifice all. We see Lydia, who was faithful. She says, if you judge me to be faithful, she was faithful to give, faithful to help with the gospel. And then thirdly, we're going to look at someone that was truthful, even though she was demon-possessed. She was truthful, even though she was demon-possessed. Now, I'm not going to go, we got lots of younger kids, but this lady, the devil was influencing in her life. And if you look with me in verse number 16, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, I asked five guys to come up here. Come on up. Run up here, guys. Give me your sprint. All right. Come on up. Now, I just want you to see Paul and Silas and Timothy. Just spread out right here. Just spread out right here. All right. Now, who wants to be Paul? You look like a Paul. All right, you're Paul. Okay. So, all right, here's Paul, the great giver of the gospel. All right. Now, they're in an area where they're trying to tell people about Jesus. And I'll be the demon-possessed woman this morning. All right, that's kind of weird. All right. But so what are Paul and Timothy trying to do? They're trying to tell people about Jesus. So this guy is trying to tell people about Jesus. So start telling them about Jesus. All right. These men be the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. These men be the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Then he goes on to the next person. Thank you. You can go. All right. Paul's talking to the next one. Here's this demon-possessed lady, and she comes up. These men be the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And every person that they're trying to talk to, these men be the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Can you imagine how difficult that would have been? And they're trying to tell people about Jesus, and here's this lady, and she's yelling this out, and she's interrupting them. But I want you to, as we take these last few minutes, listen to what this demon-possessed woman had to say. She said, these men be the servants of the Most High God. You know, we just had Halloween, And everybody's decorating for it now. Everybody's making it huge. At least, I mean, in my town, it's almost more decorated for than Christmas. It's sad. But the, you know, all the devils and all the demons that these people, you know, they decorate for the dead and all that stuff. The devils knew that there was one true God. But yet, many Americans today don't believe that. This devil-possessed woman said, these men are the servants of the Most High God. So the devil knew there was one high God that was higher than anything else. But notice what the devil said about these men. They're servants. We've lost the idea of just being a servant. Guys, just be servants. Be a servant to your wife one day. You say, I'm supposed to be the man and leader. No, be the servant to her. Take care of her. Lead by example of service. Being a servant doesn't mean that you're a nothing. Being a servant is doing what God wants us to do. Being what Jesus Christ wants us to be. She said, these men are the servants of the Most High God. And then notice what else she said, which show unto us the way of salvation. Are you showing others the way of salvation? Or are you showing others yourself? You know, the Lord convicted me of this. I am not to win disciples to myself necessarily, although many people came and followed Paul. I'm supposed to try to win disciples to Christ. And I do that by living a servant life that loves others and gives them the gospel. And I worked in a recovery program the last 5 years. If you don't know what that means, I spent time trying to help men that are addicted to drugs, alcohol. I mean, we had guys addicted to meth. And I want to just tell you, kids, if you think that's something to play around with, you have been lied to. You have been deceived. I've been in the room watching a 20-year-old young lady and her husband as the family services came in and took away their newborn because they were so high on their drugs, they didn't even know their child was being taken away from them. I was with them. They called me and asked me to be there. I still don't know to this day why they asked me to be there. I've watched three people that came in the room with us that died. I had a text message on my phone from a lady 30 minutes before she died from a drug overdose. And she was asking for help. That's not something to play around with. The devil wants to destroy you, but we have a choice. We have a chance, as this lady cried out about Paul and these men, to be a servant of the Most High God and to give our life to do what? To show unto others the way of salvation, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So who will you be this morning? Will you be a Timothy, somebody that is willing to sacrifice their life to go give others the gospel? Will you be a Lydia? We need a lot of people that they may work a normal job, but their focus is not about how much money they can make for themselves. Their focus is how much they can then give to the Lord. We need a whole lot more of those. And then we need young men and young women who will just be servants of the Most High God, who will show others the way of salvation. What about you this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your blessings. Lord, just this passage of scripture, three people that served you and one that really wasn't serving you, but it seems like she might have been saved later on. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to think about it. To think about what is my life being lived for? Am I living for myself or I live for the Lord Jesus Christ so that others can hear the gospel and know that they have salvation. Lord, we love you and need you. In Jesus' name I pray.